I'd like to begin this evening by saying how happy I am to be back in ISKCON, Silicon Valley, ISKCON, ISV as it's known now in the ISKCON world. I'm especially happy again to be with my dear godbrother, Vaisheshika Prabhu, and his dear wife, Mother Nirkula. After all, this is their Prabhudat Desh. Prabhudat Desh is a term, actually we say in Bengali, Prabhudat Desh means that place which has been awarded to you for your preaching activities, for your seva to your spiritual master. Although we have a number of itinerant preachers in ISKCON, mainly the sannyasis, if only the sannyasis, who are traveling and preaching in different parts of the world, just the nature of things are such that devotees have their place of residence, and naturally they do their preaching there. And the good fortune of all of you, and the good fortune of the people of this part of this great country of America, is that you have as your leader Vaisheshika Prabhu. I've said it before, I'll say it again, that one time Prabhupada was contemplating coming to France. He was actually living, he was visiting England, London, England, and he fell ill. And his planned trip to France was canceled, much to our dismay, because we'd been waiting all year for Prabhupada to come, and we'd done a big marathon and renovated the temple and made new clothes for the deities, and we were devastated when the news came that Prabhupada was too ill to come. So Bhagavan Prabhu, who was our GBC, was also our regional secretary, our temple president, he decided to go to London to beg Srila Prabhupada to come. Of course, he understood that Prabhupada was not well, but he thought maybe Prabhupada could somehow or other get the strength to come, because so many devotees had worked so hard all year long. We were one of the top countries, yatras in the world, in book distribution at that time, especially in Europe. So Prabhupada went to London, and he came to Prabhupada's room, and he spoke to Prabhupada. He mainly explained, you know, how many books had been distributed, how many devotees had been made, how many temples had been opened. These were the type of questions that Srila Prabhupada, as a pure devotee on this earth planet, this was his focus, spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was very interested in results, how the preaching was expanding. He said one time, Krishna consciousness is blissful when it's expanding. So Bhagavan made this report, and he, at the end of the report, he was very respectful. He said, Srila Prabhupada, please consider coming to France. And then he excused himself and went out of the room. And we heard later on that Prabhupada turned to his secretary at the time, I don't remember who it was, and he said, so I will go to France, because Bhagavan is the supreme controller. And then Bhagavan went back, and Prabhupada was delayed a couple of weeks. And to confirm that he was coming, he wrote a letter to Bhagavan Das. And in that letter, Prabhupada said, so the situation in the French yatra is very nice. I remember when I sent you there years ago, it was a struggling yatra. And now everything is so successful. He said, so many books have been printed in very beautiful bound books. You know, we had the French, they consider themselves philosophers, so the books were looking very nice, very beautiful editions of Prabhupada's books. And said, so many devotees are being made, and temples are being opened, and you have your new Mayapur farming community. He said, so what is the reason for all this? How do we explain this phenomenon? Is it because the French economy is very good? He said, is it because the government is giving you some facility Is it because of the good weather? He said, no, it's because you are there. He's big giver. So when I come to ISV, ISKCON, Silicon Valley, and I see so many smiling faces, so many devotees, a beautiful temple, deity worship. Just the glories of this yatra, it's like we have that saying in America, the shot heard around the world, Paul Revere, the British are coming. I don't know if you know that history. You need to know that to get your U.S. citizenship. The American Revolution. It began with Paul Revere saying that the British are coming and the Americans had to get ready to resist and fight, and it was a shot heard around the world. So the glories of this yatra are actually heard around the world because nothing speaks louder than success. And we give that success to all of you, of course, but another time Prabhupada in Geneva, he told us, any program is only as good as the man who's heading it up. So I was coming here in the car and I was thinking that just as Lord Chaitanya is the perfect incarnation for this age, just as Srila Prabhupada is the perfect spiritual master, so Vaisheshika Prabhu is the perfect disciple of Srila Prabhupada, of his spiritual master. Because he's exemplary in every way. In every way he's exemplary. I don't have to read the long list, you know, because that's why you came to Krishna consciousness and that's why you're being nourished and advancing, because he's himself such a good example. And this is like the Prabhupada Desh. This is his Prabhupada. I remember what it was like before he came. There wasn't much preaching going on here. And to come to this place, Silicon Valley, that's a great challenge because there's material life is very successful here. It's hard to convince people they're suffering. They're enjoying so much. But some of the greatest minds in America reside here. Some of the greatest visionaries and scientists and universities. I mean, Stanford University is not far from here. That's where my parents went to school. And so it's a great challenge, and to come to have such a challenge and to make it so successful is a sign of a devotee's sincerity. So this is like an ashram, a big ashram. And it's a very nice ashram because in Vedic culture we sometimes think, oh, the spiritual masters were all renunciates, sannyasis. That's not necessarily true. In Vedic culture, in the ashrams, there was often Guru Patni, the wife of the guru. So here, you're not renunciates. I don't see much saffron here. You're married, and you have such a good example in Mother Nirukula. She's the perfect wife. And she's the Guru Patni, actually. She's the wife of the guru, and that's a very prestigious position in Vedic culture. And it's seen, her greatness is also seen in her humility, that her husband is receiving so much honor and so much grace and prestige. Of course, she's sharing that because the wife shares the advancement of the husband, and the husband's inspired by the devotional service of the wife. It's actually one, Vedic culture says the husband and wife are like one body, working together to serve Guru and Krishna. So you have such a wonderful example as devotees of the Lord, aspiring devotees of the Lord, grihastras, how to serve the spiritual master, specifically how to serve Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of this movement. And the way that he established Krishna consciousness, although we may innovate to some degree, we should never compromise the tradition in our innovation, but we do have to innovate. Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness is the standard for the next 10,000 years. It's actually predicted that the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it'll flourish for the next 10,000 years. And that example of how to introduce Krishna consciousness in this material world was perfectly established and demonstrated by Srila Prabhupada. So if we follow that formula as Prabhupada gave it, we're sure to be successful. And Prabhupada often said his success was due to the fact that he didn't change anything from what he heard from his Guru Maharaj. He just elaborated on it. He didn't add anything. He didn't subtract anything. He said one time, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple-minded and difficult for the complicated-minded. We just have to follow the formula. But the formula may be there, like Prabhupada capitalized the formula in different slogans. He said one time, preaching is the essence. Utility is the principle. Books are the basis, but purity is the force. So we have those slogans. They're almost like shlokas. But we need someone to exemplify them. We need someone to demonstrate. We need someone to teach us how to put Prabhupada's teachings into practice. And that's Vaisheshika Prabhu and Mother Nirkula. I don't see anything wrong here. There's no problems. It's a flourishing yatra. Of course, problems do pop up because we're not pure yet, and there may be sometimes some difficulties, but they have so much faith in the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, that can solve all the problems of Kali Yuga. They have that faith. And because of that faith, the problems get solved. Prabhupada one time wrote again to Bhagavan Das, and he said, I want you to write a book. And the name of this book, he said, you write the book, but I'll give you the title, and from the title, you'll know what to put in the book. He said, the title of the book should be Spiritual Solutions to Material Problems. There you go. You have so many problems, right? Prabhupada one time, eloquence is truth spoken concisely, summed up the material world. He said, materialistic life is problematic. So, perfect condensation of the material. Material life is problematic. So he said, write a book on spiritual solutions to material problems. So I guess that book could be as long as, I heard there's more than 12 cantos on the higher planets of the Bhagavatam. It's 13, 14, 15. So there's so many problems. Abrahma, Bhuvana, Loka, Punar, Arvito, Arjuna. From the Brahma Lok down to Patala Lok, this is a place of misery where repeated birth and death take place. So you have a lot of, like that. So there's going to be problems, but if the problems can be solved, we can be peaceful. We need devotees who know how to apply the philosophy in such a way as to solve our problems so that we can be peaceful, that when we sit down and chant Hare Krishna, our mind is clear and we can focus on those 32 syllables 100%. Eke Kuru Nandana. Many times we have difficulties or difficulties continue because we're not chanting properly, because their mind is always disturbed in Kali Yuga. So, but if we have good leadership, then the problems are mitigated to a greater degree, and we can sit down and with a peaceful mind. Krishna says in Gita, how can there be happiness without peace? So we need intelligent devotees who can organize such things in such a way that we can serve Krishna to our heart's content. When Prabhupada was leaving this world, he knew he was leaving. He was on his deathbed. And he called Giriraj Swami over. And he said, at that time he wasn't Swami, he said, Giriraj Das, how will this movement go on when I'm no longer present? That's a good question for the Acharya who gave, well, his whole life is a lifetime in preparation to establish the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But those last active years, 10 years or more, Prabhupada circled the globe 12 times establishing Krishna consciousness. And naturally, he's going to be concerned, will it go on? Will his service to his Guru Maharaj continue? So he asked Guru Rai Swami, because Guru Rai Swami is very intelligent. You've heard him speak? He's very intelligent. Prabhupada told him one time, I prayed to Krishna to make you a devotee. He told him that. He saw him early in his career, coming, he was a student, and he asked a few questions in the darshan. And, you know, Prabhupada said, afterwards I prayed to Krishna to make you a devotee, because in the beginning Krishna sent me a few good men. So he called intelligent Giriraj Das over and he said, how will this movement go on after I depart? And Giriraj Maharaj gave a very good answer, standard answer, which we often use as a means to for the devotees to understand how to progress individually and collectively. He said, Prabhupada, if we just follow the regular principles and we chant our 16 rounds, everything will go on very nice. Prabhupada said, yes, but. Oh, what? He said, actually, for this movement to go on, Prabhupada said, and he said, you remember this, Giriraj. He said, we need organization and intelligence. Good organization and intelligence. That's really one of the main reasons that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement went on after he departed, because he had his six illustrious disciples, the six Goswamis. And they are more or less dedicated their lives to organizing this movement. In the sense they established the capital of Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan. They wrote books on the science of Krishna consciousness, which is a real foundation for our movement. They built temples, they installed deities. They went through the Vedic literatures and took all the sections out that showed that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's good organization. They were preparing for a worldwide movement of devotees. And then after they departed, the youngest of the six Goswamis, who was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan, Jiva Goswami, he was a real organizer. He was like a manager. He was a pure devotee, no doubt. A manjari in the spiritual world, descended into the world of men as a male personality, but he's the greatest philosopher that India has ever produced. There's a whole university with his books. But he was a real organizer, and he envisioned ways in which Krishna consciousness could be established and go on and on and on and on like that. So again, every program is only as good as the person who's heading it up. So here in ISKCON Silicon Valley, as we say in Australia, no worries, mate. You don't have to worry about anything. You're under divine protection. You have good leadership. And you need look no further for a spiritual master. Vaisheshika Prabhu has been accepting disciples for some time now, so don't let your mind trick you. You have to go here and hear that person go there and hear that person go here. Here, you have everything here. You have the perfect person to guide you in your spiritual life, and you shouldn't hesitate. You should just surrender to him and Guru Patni, and make nice advancement in Krishna consciousness. Be peaceful and be happy. This yatra reminds me very much of what ISKCON was like in the early days. In the early days, you'll often hear devotees talk about the early days. Like the good old days, right? So, but there was, in every epoch in Krishna consciousness, there's something special as it evolves. And in those days, it was really a family mood. It really was a family mood. And that's why many devotees joined the temples, because they felt that that shelter in the family mood, that there was brother and sister and father and mother and grandfather and everything, but in a transcendental way. And that family mood of being united with the same purpose. And the purpose here is very clear. Paramvidayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. If there's any temple in ISKCON where the principle of Sankirtan is prominent, it's ISKCON Silicon Valley. And that's the Yuga Dharma. Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Shanga Pangasha Bharshanam Yagnai Samkirtan Payar Yujantihi Shumerashaha. As we know, in every age there's a dharma, is a process. This age is Sankirtan. And Sankirtan, what type of Sankirtan? Congregational chanting. Specifically as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced it. The Sankirtan movement really began when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his devotees out from Srivasangam and took them through the villages. Then it was like wildfire that spread. And that's the real meaning of Sankirtan, like Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur said. Where there's preaching, there's life. Life doesn't mean maintaining the dead matter of this body. Life means, on the spiritual platform, which means service to Guru and Gauranga. And Gauranga and Prabhupada made it very clear what spiritual life is in this age. It means you become fixed up, and then you go out and preach. That's what spiritual life is in this age. You become fixed up, and you can become fixed up on the first day by starting to chant, following the principles, and then because you're living a civilized life and you know more than the greatest scientists, because you heard in the first class you're not this body, you're qualified to go out and share that knowledge with others. And by going out and sharing that knowledge with others, it's like there's a poet one time, he said, it falleth from the heaven like a gentle rain, the mercy of God. It falleth from the heavens like a gentle rain. Those who go out and preach that divine command, they make great strides forward in Krishna consciousness. We're just being quite frank here. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the mood of the disciplic succession down to Srila Prabhupada and his sincere followers, to be sharing Krishna consciousness with others. We may be shy, we may be timid, we may not be a good speaker. Those are not disqualifications. Because as soon as you go out on Sankirtan, you become like that lightning rod on the top of buildings to catch the electricity so it doesn't knock down the building. You become like a lightning rod for Gaura Shakti. Gaura Shakti means the internal energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the absence of Mahaprabhu, in the absence of the acharyas, the baton is passed on to the devotees, and through them, Mahaprabhu spreads the Sankirtan movement. So you become infused with mercy. And that mercy is so powerful, it very quickly, cheto dharpanam arjanam, it cleanses the heart of all unwanted things. It kicks out the material desires to a distant place. And gradually it gives that, awakens that love for God. First, that love comes in the form of appreciation for everything we do in Krishna consciousness, and everyone we meet, all the devotees. Then it develops into affection, loving relationships, and in due course of times, it turns into prema or love. So we've all experienced that. So I'm just appreciating my good fortune in being able to come here and associate with Vaisheshika Prabhu, Mother Nukula, your spiritual master and the spiritual master's wife, Guru Patni, and all the illustrious devotees he's making into soldiers in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. You're very fortunate, you're all blessed, and you should surrender to your heart's content and continue preaching under his divine command. I saw a photo, who was that of? Where? Anushree, is she here? Anushree, come here. It brought tears to my eyes. They showed me a photo. Was that today?
Yeah, she was distributing books.
Yeah, I'm out shopping. Shri Guru Charanap. What? I was shopping, and this little girl's out on the street distributing books. I said, I want that photo for my altar. I said, this is... Yeah, this is Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, that everyone becomes inspired. You know? So I thought, wow, this is so nice to be here where children, you know, she was out with this big hat, sun hat on and a flowery dress and a big box of books distributing books. I'm thinking, wow, you know, on Saturday, what better way to spend Saturday afternoon? So thank you so much, Vaisheshika Prabhu, for who you are and what you're doing. Guru Patni, thank you so much. I'm going to call her Guru Patni from now on. I think that would be appropriate. At least I'm going to call, maybe you could call her Guru Patni too. Just like I have one god sister, Sitala. She's a very staunch devotee of Lord Chaitanya. She did so much service. She's ill now, so she can't do much, but I call her Takurani. You know, at old age, after you see what a devotee has done and what they've accomplished, you know, these titles seem appropriate. So yes, I'm really, really, really happy to be here. I'd also like to thank Shamalangi and Radhakripa Prabhus for allowing me to come here, and their son, and Avantika. I was so surprised. I said, oh, where are we going? Avantika's house. Oh, I know Avantika. She's the musician who's always smiling when Vaisheshika is singing. She's like, oh. I call them the dynamic duo. You know, he's the singer, she's the musician, and some other kids playing mridanga, and there's this chorus of children, and like, wow, what's going on here? Everything's like really perfect here. So thank you very much for inviting me this evening, and I'm going to give a lecture also. I'm not quite as long as Radhanath Swami. He's 4 hours. But I do have a few things I'd like to say this evening. So I just wanted to thank your leadership here and the management team, who obviously they have a management team who's working so nicely, and all of you for being the wonderful devotees, for setting such an example for the entire world of ISKCON. Hare Krishna.
I have a few words to say.
No,
just it's, as a welcome, because no one's welcomed you officially to ISKCON Silicon Valley, but some personal words also, and that your encouragement is deeply felt, and my thoughts about that have been over the years, because every time I've met you, and I think the first time was when I was in France, and I was doing some deity worship, and you were in the Pujari room at the same time, and you came over and said a few words, and when I walked away,
I remember that.
I was thinking, who was that? There, it was so encouraging, and that's been my experience. Although you're always traveling around the world, I'm somewhere, but whenever I meet you, I always feel the most heartfelt encouragement from anyone that I know. And when I thought about it deeply, I remembered our godbrother, Jayananda Prabhu, whom I met when I first came to the temple. And he was so self-effacing, and he was a truly guileless person. He had no envy in his heart. He only thought of the good of others. And that is what we find in you. And that is why wherever you go, Krishna consciousness springs up, devotees begin to dance and want to celebrate the Sankirtan movement, because that is what is coming out of your heart. And it just shows to me that how a single person who is completely surrendered and without envy in his or her heart can spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. One person can become the moon that shines the light of Lord Chaitanya's mercy on everybody. So you said you were being frank, I'm being frank also. When Nirkul and I were in our little house in Burlingame, once you came with Prahlad.
Yeah.
And I remember the experience afterwards. I looked at Nirkula and we said, we'll never be the same. You truly lifted us up. And that night, we thought the roof was going to pop off because the kirtan was so ecstatic. So we are so deeply grateful to you for the way you've brought Krishna consciousness to the whole world. The world wouldn't be the same without you. And for you to come here and offer yourself so in such a loving way to all of us, we feel is our greatest fortune. We wholeheartedly, every one of us, welcome you to ISV. Please consider this your home away from home, or your home, whichever way you want. But we deeply thank you, welcome you to this kind of Silicon Valley, and pray that we can follow in your footsteps. Everyone who agrees with this, please chant the Maha Mantra. So that is settled. Thank you.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. This evening we are blessed to be reading from Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's epic Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually the favorite book of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And as such, the book that Srila Prabhupada actually interrupted his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam so as to provide us the nectarian pastimes and instructions of the Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 22, which is essentially the instructions of the Lord himself. And we're going to begin with text 31. Krishna Surya Sama Mayahaya Andhakara Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Mayara Adhikara. Krishna is compared to sunshine, and Maya is compared to darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, that's too much for me. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion, the influence of the external energy, will immediately vanish. Text 32. The external energy of Krishna, known as Maya, is always ashamed to stand in front of Krishna, just as darkness is ashamed to remain before the sunshine. However, that Maya bewilders unfortunate people who have no intelligence. Thus they simply boast that this material world is theirs and that they are its enjoyers. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The entire world is bewildered because people are thinking, this is my land, America is mine, India is mine. Not knowing the real value of life, people think that the material body and the land where it is produced are all in all. This is the basic principle behind nationalism, socialism, and communism. Such thinking, which simply bewilders the living being, is nothing but rascalism. This is due to the darkness of Maya. But as soon as one becomes Krishna conscious, he immediately is relieved from such misconceptions. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.13. Text 33. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya. if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." And finally, text 34. And this is from the Ramayana, Yudhya Kanda 8:33, spoken by Lord Ramachandra. "It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this day I am yours,' and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on." Oma gyantimadandasya ginangina shalakaya chaksurimilitam janatasmai si gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya manovishtam shtapitam jayantri Swayam rupa kadamayam dadanti sanapana Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Vancha kalpa turu vyasya kripa sindhu bhai bacha pratitanam bhavane vyo. When I was reading the second to the last of these verses this evening, it brought back a flood of memories, actually. These are the type of memories we want to have, memories of our time spent in devotional service, not memories of what we did otherwise before. And this prayer, actually coming from the mouth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's no other reference here, it was what we taught our son, Gaur Shakti, when I was in the Grihastha Ashram, when he was a little boy. Every day before he'd go to bed, we'd make him kneel in front of his bed and pray. Something we learned from our parents, right? You kneel before bed, before you take rest, and you fold your hands and you pray to God. So this is the prayer that we chose for our son, who is to this very day a devotee of the Lord, Gaur Shakti. And I was reading it, just a flood of memories, you know, little boy, and so proud of him. He memorized it by the time he was five. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I'm surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. You could say that's the essence of all prayers, to pray to once again be reunited with the Lord, who's our master, and as his servant render devotional service. That's our plea to the Lord. And that actually is one translation of our dearmost mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And Prabhupada translated it like that. My dear Lord Krishna, my dear Radharani, please engage me in your service. That was Prabhupada's translation. My dear energy of the Lord, Srimati Radhika, please once again establish me in your devotional service. Another time I heard Prabhupada put it even more poignantly. It really struck a chord in my heart, and actually it was my very best lesson in how to chant japa. Nowadays we have those very important japa retreats and japa seminars, in particular by my dear godbrother Mahatma Prabhu, such a wonderful speaker, counselor, mentor in Krishna consciousness. And fine enough, but for me, when I heard Prabhupada, when one guest asked Prabhupada, "Swamiji, what is the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra?" So I thought Prabhupada was going to give the classic translation that he gave, which was perfect. But that time in Rome, Prabhupada closed his eyes and he said, "What does it mean, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare?" It means, "My friend, my friend, my friend." That was my japa seminar. And sometimes devotees ask me, do you go to the Japa retreats? And I heard it from my master. My friend, my friend, my friend. So when I chant Japa, that's, of course, I can't claim to be a friend of Krishna, but even to be aspire to be a servant of Krishna is something glorious. But we can try. One time, a disciple said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you're the greatest Vaishnava. Prabhupada looked really surprised. What? He said, a Vaishnava is a very exalted position. I'm just trying to become a Vaishnava. I heard that. I said, yeah, me too. So these verses spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you're listening carefully, it began about, well, how entangled we are in this material world. Before we take up Krishna consciousness seriously, we have to realize how fallen we are. Otherwise, what is the need for elevation? What is the need for a positive alternative? Many philosophers are expert at, you know, showing or revealing the inadequacies of materialistic life. But unfortunately, they don't have an alternative. This is the difficulty. Jean-Paul Sartre, we studied Jean-Paul Sartre in college. He was a French philosopher. And he's famous to this day because he just was able to really reveal, you know, the miseries of material. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam, as Krishna says. This material world is temporary and full of so many sufferings. We don't see it. So we have to see through our ears by hearing from higher authority. A sadhu, a saintly person, he doesn't see with his eyes, he sees through his ears, he sees things through Guru Shastra and sadhu. So Jean-Paul Sartre, he wasn't a devotee, but he had this knack of, but he had no alternative. In fact, if you studied him too long, you fell into depression. Because he really described as it is. Like Prabhupada would often quote Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, the concept of good and bad in this world is wrong. It's all bad. It's a pretty strong statement, but that's sadhu. Sadhu means that when he speaks, he cuts our attachments. Or Prabhupada would use very strong analogies. Material life is dry stool, wet stool. Whoa. Or he would say, I've been everywhere, I've seen everything. You want my advice? Yes. Take sannyas. Very strong. Well, Jean-Paul Sartre, he was like that. But he had no alternative. The duty of the spiritual master is actually to reveal the futility of material existence, but offer the positive alternative of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, he leaves us high and dry, as we say in slang, America. He leaves us high and dry. Oh, how unfortunate we are. And the result of Jean-Paul Sartre's philosophy was that he took his own life. That was the result of following him. So I dropped out of class. But the result of following Śrīla Prabhupāda, who is even more expert, perfectly expert at revealing the futility of material life, is that he offers us the positive of life of Krishna consciousness. Just like Rig Veda. Asato ma sad gama, tamasi ma jatir gama, mrityu ma amrita gama. Do not stay in illusion. Go to the eternal reality. Do not stay in darkness. What do? Go to the light. Do not keep taking material bodies. Become immortal. Actually, one of my favorite verses, because it's as far back as you can go, the Vedas, the Rig Veda. Do not stay in illusion. Go to the eternal reality. Do not stay in darkness. Go to the light. Do not keep taking material bodies. Become immortal. So there's two things there. Pointing out the illusion and revealing the reality. To get to that position, to go beyond the illusion, to go beyond the illusion, to go beyond the darkness, to go beyond the bodily concept of life, to become immortal, technically that's called moksha. That's called liberation. For us, that liberation culminates in the activity of devotional service to Krishna, to God in the spiritual world. So to give up that illusion, to overcome maya, daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya, Krishna says it's no easy task to overcome illusion. But basically, it means that one just has to give up his rebellious nature, his rebellion against God, because that's our cardinal sin, isn't it? The Christians use that. The cardinal sin, the seed of how we came to this world, Bahirmukha. Jagananda Panda says in his Prema Vivarta, Bahirmukha, we turned our face from God. And he said, as soon as we turned our face from God, we were struck down by the illusory energy, just as lightning strikes. In this, like you're speaking with someone, and then you just turn your face and, hey, my mom used to say, look at me, son, I'm speaking to you. So we turned our face from God, that rebellious nature, and we immediately, Jagannath Pandit says, we fell into the material world. Brahmanda Bhamati Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Latambi. What have we been doing here? The word is used wandering aimlessly. From what? From one universe to the next, from one species of life to the next, from one body to the next, all because of that rebellious nature to God. So what is the solution? The solution is actually given in these last two verses that we read. It's called surrender. You have to give up. Surrender means that you're engaged in some type of fight or battle or war. So surrender. It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day on I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will remain safe from that time on. And Krishna says the same thing. Sarva dharmam paritraja, mamekam saranam braja, humtam sarva papivya, mukti masasya. You just surrender. Give up your rebellious nature. Just surrender. And Krishna promises if you surrender, you get so much. You get his protection. I will protect you from all sinful reaction. And how much sinful reaction do we have to suffer or supposedly enjoy? One time I heard Prabhupada say in Paris, he said, if I revealed to you all the sinful reactions in your heart, he said to one devotee, you would faint. And actually, Narada Muni did that as a means to get Magrari the hunter to surrender. Magrari the hunter was so sinful that he couldn't understand philosophy. He was so sinful that he couldn't understand philosophy, anything spiritual. Narada Muni was very compassionate upon him. He kept trying to preach to him, stop this sinful activity of killing animals, you'll get a heavy reaction. So in the end, he just waved his hand, Narada. And what did Magrari see? He saw all this, his sinful reactions coming in the form of all those animals he killed coming back to eat him, to attack him. So he saw like that. So Prabhupada said to that devotee, if I showed you all the sinful reactions, you would faint. There's so many. So Krishna says, just surrender to me. I will protect you from all those sinful reactions. One time at the end of a lecture, Prabhupada said, what intelligent person, after hearing this philosophy, would not surrender to Krishna, would not accept it? It's not only logical, it's just transcendent, absolute truth. What intelligent person, upon hearing this philosophy, would not immediately surrender? It makes so much sense to surrender. And Krishna will afford you protection. Just like there's a battle going, there's two armies are fighting. So it's a huge fight, there's so much struggle, there's so much action, there's people are getting killed, they're getting wounded. And one army raises a white flag, it's all over. According to the Geneva Convention, if you raise a white flag, then the opposing army has to lay down their arms and they have to accept your surrender and give you protection. Nowadays, war has become something quite evil. But in Even during World War II, the Japanese, they would raise the white flag, then the Americans or the Allies, they would put down their arms and they would put them in detention camps where they were fed, where they were clothed, where they had medicine. So the vicious, I hate you, white flag, it's all over. So same thing, there's this battle going on with Maya, rebellious nature against God. I don't want to be a servant, I want to be a master. I've had enough, Krishna, I am yours, please accept me. Surrender. This last verse was actually spoken by Lord Ramachandra. It's in the Yudha Kanda, 1833. It's my vow that if one seriously surrenders and says, my dear Lord, from this day on I am yours and praise to me, I immediately award him whatever courage is required. Wow. He actually spoke that verse just after he had conquered Lanka and had conquered Ravana. And he was actually in the midst of glorifying Hanuman at that time. And he used this verse actually as a means to glorify Hanuman, who was fully surrendered. Like we were speaking earlier, we have our theology, we have our philosophy, but we always need someone to exemplify or demonstrate that philosophy. So as far as surrender to the Lord, a surrendered servant, you couldn't find a better servant than Hanuman. He's the best. He became perfected by that surrender. It's stated that Maharaj Parikshit became perfect by hearing Shravanam. Shukadev Goswami became perfected by Kirtanam, by chanting. Prahlad Maharaj became perfect by remembering Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Vishnu. The goddess of fortune became perfected by serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Akura became perfected by prayer. Arjuna became perfected as serving as a friend, Bali Maharaj, by surrender, and Hanuman by becoming an intimate servant of Lord Ramachandra. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmirvedam. So Hanuman's there as an example of a surrendered servant. So we should follow in his footsteps, Hanuman. Just by studying his mood of devotion to Lord Ramachandra, we can learn how to surrender and become good servants. Of course, in this world, when you talk about service, becoming a servant of God, like, whoa. Because our experience of serving someone in this world, generally it's not very good. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati put it he said one time, he said, in this world, what is the nature of service? Service, he says, you put your head on my lap as my servant and I cut your throat. I read that in The Harmonist. That was his Back to Godhead magazine that he was distributing. You put your head on my lap and I cut your throat. And we all have generally a bad experience of service in this world, because generally those who we're serving, they're exploiting us. They're using us for their means. Our dear boss, I mean, maybe you have a devotee as your boss, I don't know. But, you know, the company is using us. They don't really care about us. If we perform nicely, they encourage us. If we don't perform nicely, they can have the hardest of hearts and kick us out from their service. The government, I won't go into details here today. You know, we feel exploited very often in our service. So we hear about service to God. No way. In France, that's actually one of the mottos of the country. Ni maître, ni Dieu. No master, no God. The rebellious nature of the French. I was there for 15 years. Let me tell you about it. Ni maître, ni Dieu. No master, no God. They don't want a master. They don't want to be the servant, because the servant is so often exploited. But we're talking about a different concept of service. We're serving the most glorious master, Sri Krishna. or Srila Prabhupada, or our Guru Maharaj. They're not there to exploit us. They're our benefactors. They are our ever well-wishers. They're not there to take anything from us. They're there to give us the divine service of the Lord. Like Burijan Prabhu, he wrote that book, My Glorious Master. It's a wonderful book. So, and Prabhupada was the perfect master. Actually, Srinathji, who's since left this world, was a disciple of Varanaswami, I believe. He first met Prabhupada. He was a big businessman, and the devotees encouraged him. He was very pious to come and meet Prabhupada, but he knew this exploitation in the world. So he was a businessman. And you know, business can be sometimes cutthroat. I don't know, I'm not a businessman, but I've heard can be vicious sometimes. So Srinathji, he knew how to judge people and see where they were at. So he said when he first met Srila Prabhupada, he was told, you have to surrender to Prabhupada. He's the spiritual master. He's the acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, this great Gaudiya mission. So he said, I studied Prabhupada for weeks and months. I studied him, and I could not find one defect in him. He was perfect. He was the perfect person I was always looking for. Of course, because he came from Goloka Vrindavan, from the spiritual world. He came out of his compassion to this world to lead us back to the spiritual world. So he was totally, completely faultless. And therefore, Srinathji surrendered to him. So we need examples like that. And this last verse here, repeated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, who Ram was speaking about was Hanuman. And Hanuman was a great example, well, from his birth, actually. It said that Hanuman was the son of Anjana and Kesari Raj. And the scholars say that Hanuman had three fathers. He had a Shiva, Vayu, and his father Keshari. And many of you know that as soon as Hanuman took birth, he was hungry. And looking up at the sky, he saw this bright red colored fruit, which was actually the sun. So because he was from this Varna race is a race of monkeys, but not like the monkeys we see in Vrindavan. Those rascal monkeys who jump as far as they can steal. Where are my glasses? They steal your glasses. There's some monkeys here. He was from the Varna race. These monkeys had mystic powers. So he was born with some of these mystic powers. So he thought it was a fruit, so he jumped to the sun to devour it. And seeing this monkey with mystic powers coming to devour him, Surya Bhagavan became frightened and he asked Indradev to help him. So Indradev took this thunderbolt and he threw it at this being who was coming to devour the sun. It hit the baby Hanuman on his jaw here and he fell down back to the earth unconscious. And Hanuman actually means one with the broken jaw. I gave this name recently at one of my initiations. And I said, your name is Hanuman Das. So the boy said, Guru Maharaj, what does Hanuman mean? Well, you really, really want to know the literal trend? Yes, Guru Maharaj. It means one with a broken jaw. But that's not, I was referring to Hanuman. You're the servant of Hanuman. So, when Vayu saw this, because Vayu was considered one of the partial fathers of Hanuman, he saw this, Vayu came down and he picked up his son, Hanuman, and brought him to a cave. And he was so angry, Vayu, that his son, Hanuman, had been injured like this, that he began withdrawing all the air in the universe. This is Vayu. He's the god of what? Air or wind. So, there's no oxygen left. if you want to experience what there is when there's no oxygen, you can come with me next time when we go to Mount Kailash. Yes, I went there, Mount Kailash, it's almost 2 years ago now, with Badahari Prabhu, of all people. He kept saying, what am I doing here? we're 6,000 meters, and it's very rarefied atmosphere. It means there's very little oxygen. You need oxygen for your blood to work properly in your brain, so you get this high-altitude sickness. And one of our boys actually fainted, and he had this edema where his lungs began to fill with liquid, and we had to bring in a helicopter and fly him to Nepal to a hospital. He survived by 45 minutes. Yeah. And we had headaches, nosebleeds, everything. So I know what it's like when there's no oxygen. Actually, I don't think I'll go back there, but it was a nice experience going around Lord Shiva's abode, Kailash. So Vayu, he withdrew all the air, and as a result, all the demigods, then they went to Brahma. And they said, as they do when there's a problem in the universe, the demigods go to Brahma and they ask him to resolve it because he's the chief of the demigods. So Brahma said, we should go to the earth, to the cave where Vayu is taking care of Hanuman, and we should ask for forgiveness. We should ask Vayu forgiveness. We should, you know, like this. So many demigods went to that cave to ask for forgiveness. And in the process of asking forgiveness, they gave this little monkey some benedictions just to make things okay. Like, don't get upset. Let's get some more oxygen in the air and we'll give the little boy some benedictions. So Vayu said, okay, what are you going to give? So Brahma, he gave the benediction that no one would ever be able to defeat Hanuman or kill him, that the laws of material nature would never bewilder him, that he would have full knowledge of all ripe and unripe fruits, and roots and medicinal herbs. And you know, this benediction came into play later on when he had to take the herbs from the Himalayas and the mountains to cure Lakshman. Surya, who asked Indra to throw the thunderbolt, he promised to impart all Vedic knowledge unto Hanuman, and he gave his blessings that he would be immune from all burns. Yeah. So later on, you know, Ravana ordered Hanuman's tail to be lit on fire when he was captured in Lanka. But it didn't affect Hanuman, rather it burned down Lanka, because he went with his tail and everyone burned down. Vishwakarma also joined the group there, and he blessed Hanuman with deep intelligence, clarity in thinking, and creative abilities. And Dhanvantari gave Hanuman the blessing that the ability to heal others. So like this, he got some nice benediction. So Vayu calmed down. He said, okay, all right. Like that. But after getting these benedictions from so many illustrious personalities, Hanuman, well, he was a young monkey. He became very naughty. He was very naughty. Prabhupada said one time, if a little boy is naughty, that means that he's intelligent. He'll be very intelligent as he grows older. I used to tell that to my former wife. My boy was very naughty. I said, just he's intelligent. Don't worry. Like his dad. So he became really rambunctious, and what he used to do, he used to go to where the yogis were performing meditation. He'd tear off their clothes with his claws and his teeth. When they were bathing, he'd spit water at them, and he'd pull their beards and jump on their backs like that. So the sages became very, very upset, and they went to Hanuman's maternal mother and father, Anjana and Keshar, and they complained. So finally the sages, they resolved that whatever benedictions the demigods had given, they took them back. Yeah, took them back until Hanuman really needs them. And at this point, the Shastra says that Hanuman actually began demonstrating his real nature. He was growing up. You know, boys, you learn in different ways. And he began to become very meek and humble. And according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's the first prerequisite that one requires to become a sage or a devotee of the Lord. One should chant the holy name of the Lord, which is the Yuga Dharma, in a humble state of mind, making himself more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of prosperity, etc. So despite his naughtiness, the Shastra points out that at a very young age he started developing these good qualities of humility. So demonstrating himself as a qualified servant of the Lord. So later on, Hanuman also demonstrated this service attitude, which he's glorified in those nine processes of devotional service, of surrender to the Lord, that it took place during his first meeting with Lord Ramachandra. Ram had been banished, and Sita and Lakshman, they followed him to the forest for 14 years. And he wandered here and there in the forest. And one time they came across the kingdom of Sugriva. Sugriva is the, if you've read the Ramayana, Sugriva is the king of the Varna monkeys in a particular part of the forest. And when Ram and Lakshman and Sita came into the forest, Sugriva heard from his spies that these very effulgent personalities had come into the forest. So he wanted to find out who they were. So his chief minister at that time was Hanuman. So he told Hanuman, you go and you find this is very one tall, very handsome, beautiful, green, hewish personality, and his brother and his beautiful wife are there. You find out who they actually are and come back and give me a report. So Hanuman, he disguised himself as a mendicant. And when he arrived before Ram, he immediately knew who Ram was because he has an eternal relationship with Lord Ramachandra as a servant. So he kneeled before Lord Ramachandra, and he, with eloquent praise, he began glorifying Ram. And it was such beautiful glorification that it brought tears to the eyes of Sita Devi, who turned to her husband Ram and said, "You please give him some benediction." So then Ram began glorifying Hanuman. Just like the devotee likes to glorify the Lord likes to glorify his devotee. This is the nature of pure divine love. There's a kind of competition between the Lord and his devotee who can glorify the most. So as Hanuman has spoken so nicely about his Ishtadev, about his worshipable Lord, so Lord Ramachandra began to glorify Hanuman. And for Hanuman Bhaktas, this is, you know, one of their favorite parts of the Ramayana, actually. And it's an indication to us what type of servants we should become. Servants of our spiritual master, servants of the Vaishnava, servants of the spiritual master, servants of the Supreme Lord. We should try to imbibe these qualities by which Ram glorified Hanuman. Would you like to hear how he glorified? So Ram said to Lakshman, "The charm of Hanuman's voice is amazing. He uses the right words at the right time. He is pleasing and he is gentle, and he has gravity in his speech. The contents of his speech are attractive to the heart." This all sounds like Radhana Swami to me. "He knows the Rig, Yajur, and Samavedas very well. He cannot be so gentle if he has not studied the Shastras. He has learned from his teachers. He spoke much, but he did not use even a single wrong word. While speaking, there was no fault in his body. He remained focused. His speech can win over an enemy who has raised his sword." And he concluded, "If I get such a person as an associate, I can achieve success." I thought that was very nice. "If I get such a person as an associate," Ram said, "I can achieve success." One time Prabhupada said, "Just as Lord Ramachandra conquered Ravana with monkeys and bears, I have conquered the world with my disciples." He considered us like monkeys and bears. By his mercy, we were empowered to represent him and do some service. I conquered the world. So, one time, Prabhupada said to devotees in New York, he said, I have a plan to conquer the world in 18 days. So one disciple said, let's do it, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, you're not ready yet. So isn't that interesting? Ram said like that. If I can get such a person as an associate, I can achieve success. Wouldn't you like to be that person to give pride to your spiritual master, like Vaisika Prabhu is giving such pride to Srila Prabhupada, executing his orders perfectly here in ISV. So many chapters later in the Ramayana, we hear, because of that sentiment that Ram had for Hanuman, how much he trusted him, right? He trusted him as his servant. He asked Hanuman to find Sita, who'd been kidnapped by Ravana. So, bounding over the ocean in one leap, you know the story, how he went to Lanka, and after much searching, he found her in, a garden of Ashoka trees. But first, when he saw her, he was, again, just to demonstrate what a wonderful servant he was, he was confused how to approach her. Because as he watched, Ravana, who had mystic powers, he was approaching Sita every day in different disguises to get her to surrender to him. Because, you know, Ravana wasn't the most handsome guy. I mean, if you just have 3 ears, people think twice about marrying you, or you have 2 noses, or he had 10 heads. He wasn't the most handsome person. And so to get Sita to surrender him, because she wouldn't surrender to his lusty desires, he would sometimes appear as a Pukka Brahmana, sometimes he'd appear as a powerful Kshatriya, or he'd appear as a beautiful celestial being to try to trick her. You can't trick the goddess of fortune, who's a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he would take all these different disguises. The reason he had to do that was because Ravana was cursed. You could consider his name, Ravana, means he who makes the universe scream. That's a really, right? You wouldn't want that name. What's your name? My name means me who makes the universe scream. Ravana Hunta. Hunta means to kill. I have a godbrother, Kamsa Hunta. He who killed Kamsa. So Ravana Hunta. Yes, my name means he who killed that person who makes the universe scream. Oh, Guru Maharaj, could you change my name? So he couldn't get the goddess of fortune to surrender because he was cursed, because when he was a young man, he violated one young girl. He raped one young girl, actually. And her father cursed him that if you ever try to enjoy a woman against her desire, as soon as you touch her, your body will burst into 10,000 pieces. You'll die immediately. So he had this curse, Ravana. He couldn't. So he tried these different disguises that weren't working. So there's Hanuman. He's a monkey. And he's thinking, if I approach Sita, she's just going to think I'm Ravana disguised as a monkey. So how did he get as the proper sevite, the proper servant, how did he get the trust of Sita? Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavan Sitaram Sitaram Jai Sitaram Sitaram. He began singing the glories of Sitaram. And because he is a pure devotee, his singing melted the heart of Sita Devi. Just like Prabhupada said, the chanting of Hare Krishna is always beneficial. Even if you hear it from a non-devotee, the holy name is never contaminated. It has some effect. But he said, the chanting of Hare Krishna is particularly effective when it's heard from the lips of a pure devotee. So who's our favorite bhajaneer, our favorite kirtaneer? Srila Prabhupada. Bandeyam Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnava. That's how I wake up every morning. I play that tape. I have no problem getting up. It's like Prabhupada's calling. Vandeham Sri Guru Siddhartha. And perhaps that's the reason our illustrious godbrother Jayananda, the first saint in Krishna consciousness, went back to Godhead. Of course, he went back to Godhead for his selfless service to Srila Prabhupada, establishing Ratha Yatra and whatever. But he was alone in his room when the devotees went to Mangal Artik in Los Angeles. He had leukemia. And he passed away when no one was in the room. The Prabhupada Happening album was playing, and Prabhupada was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. In a posthumous letter Prabhupada revealed, he said, if you had any material desires, it means you've gone to the Svargalok, where you can fulfill those desires, and from there transfer yourself to Vaikuntha. At least that's there for the devotees. You've gone to Svargaloka. No need to take birth on the earth. You go to Svargaloka. He said, but because I was informed that you were hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra at the time you died, I say you've gone to Krishna Loka. It's there in Prabhupada's letter, our godbrother. He was hearing the chanting from the lips of a pure devotee, from Srila Prabhupada. That's not nice. So Hanuman, he became perfect by this surrender. He's singing. So Sita's, no, so she, and then he comes down the tree. And he has the ring, right, of Ram as a sign that he's the Lord's representative. So it's the way he presented the ring that he showed he was the proper servant. He placed the ring in his hand and he extended it to Sita, who smiled and took the ring from his hand and put it to her heart. The idea being that she's the goddess of fortune, she's superior to him. So he couldn't place the ring in her hand. That would be disrespectful because she's superior. Take this. No, he said, you please take. So she took the ring like this. So the acharyas say that this is the sign that he's a proper servant. He has a proper etiquette. He didn't just, you know, place it in her hand. He offered it to her and she took it. This is Vaishnava etiquette. The acharyas say like this to show his proper service attitude. So then when Hanuman came back to tell Ramachandra that he had met with Sita, he approached Ram and he said, found Sita I. That sounds a little strange, doesn't it? Found Sita I. But Hanuman had very carefully chosen his words. For the acharyas say that if he said to Sita, I found Sita, the first word that Ram would have heard was I. And this doesn't denote if Sita's been found or not. So he might have concluded he didn't find Sita and he would have become depressed. And if Hanuman had said, Sita I found, the first word Ram would have heard was Sita without knowing if she'd been found or not. So he may have become depressed. So Hanuman's so intelligent, found Sita I. So for these reasons and many more, I'm just trying to point out the etiquette and the mood and the caliber of one who's a servant, who always puts the interest of the master first. After all was said and done and the Battle of Lanka had concluded and Ravana was dead and Kumbhakarna was dead and all those bad guys, Ramachandra assembled all the monkeys and bears and began giving them gifts. And but he didn't give a gift to Hanuman because the real gift of the master is the gratitude or the chosen words of glorification from the master. Just like some devotees received personal blessings from Srila Prabhupada that were priceless. You wouldn't, you know, if you received a personal instruction from Prabhupada or personal blessings from Prabhupada, you wouldn't have exchanged that for billions of dollars. Like my lowly, lowly, lowly self, Prabhupada said to me one time, preach boldly and have faith in the holy names. He reached over his desk. He put his face that far from me because I was nervous. I was going to France as a 19-year-old boy to preach to the French. I only knew oui, 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 no, no, no. Print books, establish temples, make devotees, oui, oui, oui. I was scared. So he reached in his drawer and he pulled out his dhoti and he gave me his dhoti. He said, a gift from a Vaishnava is a very special thing. And then he looked at me and I said, preach boldly and have faith in the holy name. So it's like that became etched in my stone-like heart, like they etch things in stone like that. Another time he said to me, he slapped me on the back and he said, so much endeavor in this material world, but when I take you back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime. So whatever Prabhupada said to any one of us was meant for all of us because he loved all his disciples equally. So you can also take that as a blessing from Prabhupada. But I often, you know, there's problems in this world and we're not aloof from those problems because basically we live on the street. We live out in the outside world. We're all preachers. Our temples, you know, the corner street downtown. And we come across so many problems and difficulties. And when it's getting really hard sometimes, I just remember Papa, so there's so much difficulty in this material world. When I take you back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime. So I know that's my future if I act properly as Prabhupada's disciple and try to share my good fortune with others. So my point is those words meant more to me than anything. So when it came time for Hanuman to get his gift, Lord Ram turned to him and said, may my supreme affection for you, Hanuman, continue forever. Let my love not be diverted to anyone else. May life continue in my body only so long as your story is spoken and heard of on the surface of this earth. See, Hanuman Ji Ki. I'll read it to you again. May my supreme affection for you continue forever. Let my love not be diverted to anyone else. May life continue in my body only so long as your story is spoken and heard on the surface of the earth. And then Ram embraced Hanuman. He actually asked him, what would you like? He said, because he's a servant, right? Can you give me an embrace? That's all. Nadanam nadanam nasundarim kavicham vada gadisha kamaye mama janmen. He didn't want wealth, he didn't want autocracy. Because sometimes the master, it's a serious relationship, but sometimes the master pats you on the head. One time Prabhupada patted me on the head, he said, he's a good boy. Wow! Because I put Prabhupada's slippers on every morning before the Bhagavatam class in Paris. And one day, and then I just felt this, he's a good boy. So these words were there for Hanuman. And then he said, after embracing him, he turned and he said, I remain forever indebted to Hanuman. And then he said this prayer. Sukrit eva prapano yas tavas miti cha yachite abhayam sarvadatasmai datam yetad vrtam mama. It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day on I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately ward courage to that person, and he will remain safe from that time on. Then, you know what he said? And this is really amazing. Are you seated properly? Yes? Okay, put your hands on the ground. I don't want you to fall over. Then he said, even if Ravana himself were to approach me for shelter, I would give him the same. Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan Ki. Wow. So, if we are to say that to the Lord, then if he gives that shelter to Ravana, he'll give it to anyone in ISV as well. No problem. So please repeat after me. My dear Lord,
from this day I am yours.
Well, okay, so you have courage, and now that the Lord's giving you courage, and let me see, let's go back to the other prayer here. My dear Lord Krishna,
my dear Lord Krishna,
although I have forgotten you for so many long years,
in the material world,
today I am surrendering unto you.
I am your sincere and serious servant.
Please, please, please engage me in your service. Of course, to become such an intimate servant of the Lord, that prayer has to be from the heart. We often hear how the gopis, they have such an intimate relationship. The cowherd boys, Nanda and Yashoda, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Hanuman. So if we want that intimate relationship, then the quality of our prayer has to be like 24 karat gold. Just like today we were shopping. I should have been distributing books. But I was shopping for my deities. And by the way, Vaisheshika Prabhu and Guru Patni, they gave a nice donation. I bought two beautiful gold chains for my Radha Krishna deities. You can please. So we can say these prayers, but to get that embrace, to get that save intimacy, so we have to have that bhav, that love. So the longest journey begins with the first step. Better to be going slowly in the right direction than running hell-bent for leather in the wrong direction. So we are going in the right direction, but we should have confidence that in due course of time that intimacy will come, but we should remove all obstacles in the path. We shouldn't hesitate. I remember Papa said to Vishnu John Maharaj one time, he said, you've had so many births in this material world, 8,400,000 species of life, and you've gone through all of them. And he said, are you happy? And Maharaj said, no, Prabhupada, I'm not happy. He said, because you're not surrendered. So just give this one life to Krishna and see what happens. Just, you've experimented with the bugs and the butterflies and the bears and the devatas, and you've been there and done that. That's not what Prabhupada said, I'm just paraphrasing. You've done all that. One thing you haven't done is given your life completely to Krishna. So why just make this experiment? You're not satisfied by all those other births. So this one lifetime, give that lifetime to Krishna. And then there's a chance that you'll experience that joy, that satisfaction that comes. So we should surrender, but quickly. We don't want to be like Prahlad's friends. When Prahlad was preaching the philosophy to them to get them to surrender, they said, Prahlad, you know, this devotional service, this Krishna consciousness, this is for when you get old. You have nothing better to do. When nothing's left, you just... We're children now. We want to play. Prahlad said, no. He said, we want to wait till we get old. He said, old age means just before you die. He said, don't children die? Don't middle-aged people die? Don't children die in the womb? You could be old now, boys. You better get serious. So they became serious. They began chanting the Gurukul song. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So let's follow in the footsteps of devotees like that who did in that one lifetime surrender. Bhaktisarana Saraswati, in conclusion, he gives us hope that we can be as surrendered as these devotees, achieve that intimacy. He said one time, I see no reason, and I mentioned at the initiation of the day, why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Srila Bhaktisarana Saraswati Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Go Premanande! Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Hanuman ji ki. Lord Ramchandra Bhagavan ki. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki.